Welcome to Are You Real, episode 46 with Chip Townsend.
Welcome to Are You Real, Finding the Authentic You, the podcast that focuses on Christians that are active in everyday life. Join in as we speak to everyone from successful business owners to educators to athletes about their faith and how it helps them reach out and revolutionize those around them to do the same. And now, get ready to roar with your host, the voice of manifestation, John Fuller.
How's it going, brother, man? I'm pumped.
Yes, man. Let's do it, dude. So I'm going to jump in real quick. So Chip Townsend began his journey in martial arts at age 13 under Grandmaster Young Sun Lim. As a youngster, Chip was not a stranger to adversity. When he was 3 years old, a freaky injury cost him his right eye. From that day forward, he faced life with a one-eye perspective. In Chip's case, that perspective was one of perseverance and a belief that his handicap was, in fact, not a handicap. Chip has not only persevered in black belt and beyond, but he has become a leader who teaches leaders and a mentor. To say he's an accomplished martial artist is an understatement. He holds 14, yes, I said 14, world titles in breaking in the International Sports Karate Association. He performs stunts that martial artists who with two eyes struggle with and cannot fathom. He has been featured on ESPN, the Discovery Channel, and more recently, NBC's America's Got Talent. It is this success that has become a powerful platform for positively impacting others. All right, Chip, man, I am fired up, dude. I actually watched your YouTube. You've done a TED Talk, which I didn't even mention in your bio. I watched your TED Talk yesterday. You've done some great things, dude. Tell me more about you, kind of your business ministry, maybe basically how you, your love for Jesus, how you do that with people. But man, tell me about you and your business, my friend.
Absolutely, brother, man. Speaking of fired up and pumped, I am pumped and honored to be here. I appreciate you having me on. So honestly, I feel like my life just kind of has fallen into place at times. So as a young kid, I had just kind of this innate interest. I can't put my finger on, man, I saw a Bruce Lee movie or Chuck Norris or something. It turned me on. I just had this interest in martial arts and some parts fell into place. And I got the opportunity as a young man to buy the school that I grew up in and trained in, a very small school in West Texas. And with my beautiful wife, after we got married kind of young, we got the opportunity to buy that thing and take off and run. And it has become our business, our life, our living, our ministry, and probably so much more. So I'm just blessed. And at the end of the day, happily and fully understand where my gifts come from, man. One of my things that keeps me grounded is, you know, God gave me gifts, and I think my greatest gift back to him, although I'm just a minuscule speck of dust in his life, my gift back to him is what I do with those gifts, you know, so I try to honor that every day.
Man, I love that you said that you honor him with your gifts. I want to ask you, at what age did you kind of find, you recognize, like, not just I love this, but man, it just naturally came to you? Where were you at that age?
As far as finding the martial arts or finding that this is kind of my future and my life.
Yeah, yeah.
So whenever, let me kind of back up. You mentioned in the bio, I had a prosthetic eye. So whenever I was 13 years old, I was standing in a health check line at school. We're standing there waiting to get checked by the nurse. And kind of the school bully, this kid that was a year or two older than all of us in our class, he had failed a couple of years and he was the stud athlete and kind of dominated all the kids, turned and looked at me. Actually, he was in line behind me. And I remember thinking, don't make eye contact, just stay focused forward, right? And at some point, there was some eye contact with my one good eye. And he says, you know what, Chip, I'm going to poke your other eye out. And at that point, I had this epiphany of, geez, I know my parents have taught me to stay on my ground and, you know, fight to an extent, but I don't know what I would do with this kid. He would crush me, right? I don't know. I just had this moment of, I need to do something. So that summer right after that, we're driving through our little town here in Texas, and we drove by the martial arts school that I'm in now, and I just happened to look over, and I said, Mom, I've always wanted to do that, and I had. And she said, cool. And she turns around, pulls in, and signs me up, and I was 13 years old, and kind of the rest is history from there.
Wow, so you've done it ever since, man. You started, and did you naturally excel? Like, you just loved it, so you just stayed with it?
No, like everybody else, man, I struggled my butt off. My very first lesson, my first day on the mat, I did a month of private lessons, two private lessons a week for 4 weeks. And my very first lesson, I walked on the mat in my brand new crisp white uniform, and my instructor, Mashalim, this little small kind of had this great presence, Korean guy. He comes over, sets me on the floor right inside the doorway of the dojang, the gym. And he starts putting me in stretching positions, and he spends 1 hour sitting on my back in like a hurdler stretch, a straddle stretch, and all these rotating me through all of these stretches. So for 1 hour, I did nothing but get punished, basically. And yeah, I mean, literally, we're driving home. It was the greatest thing. You know, I grew up in the country. I worked for my dad. I negotiated my first hourly wage kind of as a fun thing at 4 years old, man. And so my dad began to teach me super early, you know, how to kind of earn my keep and be a provider and, or, you know, a contributor in the family. And so we're driving home, and my mom is just really quiet the whole drive. And she looks over and she says, "Hey, Chip," she says, "you know what?" She said, "you know how to hunt, you know how to fish, you know how to use a gun." She said, "you don't ever have to go back if you don't want to." And I just vividly remember, and I'm not sure why I said this. I said, "Mom, I wouldn't trade it for all the tea in China. I want it." And she said, "it's on." But I will say at, I guess, 13 and a half, 14 years old, I got to my blue belt about a year into my training, and I really hit a wall. And I struggled hard. I came home to my parents and I just said, "you know, I don't think I can keep going. I'm not improving. I'm not getting better." I was super down on myself. And I just remember my mom and dad both looking at me, and they sent me down and they said, "look, number one, we've invested too much time and money. And two, you've come way further than you realize. You're not quitting." That was really kind of the only wall I hit to where I really almost walked away. But if it hadn't been for my parents at that point, putting my head straight and keeping me in the game, I probably would have walked away.
Isn't that funny how we always need either not just our parents, but we need a mentor or a coach in our life to push us through? Because all of us at some point do hit that wall. And I'm sure you see this with the hundreds or thousands of students that you've taught, that all of us hit that wall, that you just literally need somebody to come along and just kind of kick you forward.
Absolutely. You know, not only kick you forward, but I've been amazed at how many times, and I'm sure you, John, can reach back into your life and think of times that there was just a simple comment made to you that changed the path of your life. And so for us, we try to build this culture in our school with our instructors and our leaders of constantly spotting the right. You know, whenever we see somebody do something good, make sure we point that out, because it might that one comment you made today, they might have been really in the dumps, but you just went by and said, "hey, that was, you know, a really high kick today." That might be the one thing that keeps them on board. So, you know, we're trying to find ways all the time to plant seeds to keep people focused and not have them, you know, to basically give them that kick in the butt without kicking them in the butt.
Yeah, yeah. No, I totally agree with that. I tell my kids, and I've said this, you know, find the golden people. It's easy to find the gravel, per se, or just the crap in people's lives, because we do it ourselves enough. I don't need somebody else to point out my flaws. I already know what they are. But when somebody points out the gold in you, man, it really does. It picks you up and makes you want to just keep going forward.
Heck yeah. And I love that. I love it. Pointing out the gold. That's fantastic stuff.
So we dove a little bit into your journey, but let's go a little bit further, because I'm just really interested. You got a lot of national titles. You left off at 13. Well, actually, you left off of starting at 13, struggling to get your blue belt. But from there, you've had quite a career, because in your bio, it says you have 14 world titles. So let's go into a little bit of that journey and that process, because obviously you really had to dig deep and do some great things to achieve what you've done.
Yes, sir. It's been quite a process and quite a road. So what I'll do is I'll kind of talk a little bit about something that my dream coming up is. I've always been, I think, kind of driven, and, you know, I see something I wanted, I have the willingness to go after it. And so as a kid, my dream was to serve in the military. My parents had planted some seeds with me as a kid. You know, they said, you know, men should, you know, serve their country at some point. And so my dad served in the military for a stint, and I thought, okay, so my dream was to be Marine Recon or Navy SEAL. I just had this mindset, if I'm going to do something, I want to be the best, right? And so 17 years old, I'm walking through the Mall of Abilene. I meet the Marine recruiter. And I remember some people had told me, "well, you might not be able to do military because you have a prosthetic eye. They consider you a handicap." And so I'm standing there talking to the Marine recruiter, and I said, "hey," I said, "I'm interested in the Marines." And boom, this guy goes into this spiel. I can't get a word in edgewise. He's just like, "you're going to travel the world. It's the best decision you've made." He's like just ripping out all this stuff. And finally, he takes a breath, and I said, "sir, my first question is, I have a prosthetic eye. Is that going to be a problem?" And this was a turning point for me. Johnny looked at me, without skipping a beat. And he said, "You're unfit to be a Marine." I tell you what, for a 17-year-old young man, that, you know, that was kind of a devastating way to approach that and say that. But I tell you what, it lit an absolute fire under me at the same time, because I was a little cocky as a kid, and I said some choice things to him at that point. And by the time I walked away, he said, "You know, hey," he actually apologized. He said, "You would make a great Marine. I wish we could take you." And I said, "It is what it is." So that was one thing that sparked me, and one of those things that, a turning point in my life that led me to moving forward. So, and then moving forward to getting into winning world titles, my wife and I had owned our martial arts school for a year or so, maybe a couple of years. And my wife calls me one day and says, "Hey, Tip, I just saw these guys doing board breaking on ESPN. And I said, "Okay, you know, awesome." And she's like, "No, really, you need to look into it." And long story short, we looked in, sanctioned it, and reached out and sent them a video. And I got invited to come compete because it was an invite only competition. 2 years after that, I won my first two world titles in different divisions, and have since gone on to set some world records and continue to go back. But I will say this, John, I think it's really important for people to hear, my first year competing, I had done forms competitions and fighting, and kind of veered into breaking when that came up. And my first year, I got my butt kicked, and I came home and I sat down and thought, what can I do better? I think the point is I went back. I kept going back and trying again and working harder and trying again. So,
man, you just got my mind spinning just listening to you. I was thinking about, a lot of times people look at the hard things in their life as setbacks, or they want to dwell on those. And obviously, one of your biggest setbacks has been your eye. And I find it really interesting at 17 that obviously you saw that. But the very thing that was your setback was the very thing that actually launched you into even really what you're doing now, because of the tenacity. And kind of you just got pissed off and said, I mean, I could be wrong, but I'm just picturing myself. It just kind of pissed you off and said, "You know what? I'm going to prove you wrong."
Yes, sir. I have that strange personality, man. As long as it's not outside the rules and moral boundaries, if you tell me I can't do something, it kind of fuels me. Okay. All right. We'll see how that works. Right.
That's funny you say that. My dad always said, I played college football, and I got a scholarship to play college ball. And obviously I did well in high school, and that was always my dad's motivation. So when something would happen, and whether it was wrestling, football, baseball, whatever, my dad would say, "You know what, man, Johnny, I just don't think you can do it." But he was serious. Like, he said it mentally. He's just like, "You know what? Fine, give up." And man, it would make me so mad when he would say that. And I'm like, "Dude, it's on. You don't think I can do it? Oh, let me show you." And he did it on purpose, though. And years later, he told me, he goes, "No, I always knew." He goes, "I knew you could." He goes, "But I knew if I told you that, it'd just make you mad and go do it."
Well, you know what? The wisdom of that, right? Reverse psychology, whatever you want to call it. So let me tell you something interesting. You know, you're talking about taking the eye and turning a weakness into a strength. So my first year, I came back from breaking on the big stage, and I actually was blessed to make some ESPN covers that year, because they would just give some highlights of the breakers, and I made the highlights, and we were super pumped. And so I had a dad in my martial arts school. His daughters had been with me for years, and he's a professional magician. And I called him up and I said, "Hey, I need some help with my stage presence and presentation." So I said, "Will you come watch the video with me? Watch me train a little bit and help me." And he did. And so back to the eye, one of the things that he did is he said, "Chip," he said, "Do those guys judging that division know you only have one eye?" And I said, "I have no idea. I don't think so." And he said, "How about this? How about you wear an eye patch next year?" And he said, "That way it forces them to think about your unique eye perspective, you know?" And so anyway, when you said that, I'm a huge fan of, in every pile of poo, there's a golden nugget, man. We just got to get dirty digging for it sometimes. And for me, I like to think that the handicap other people perceive in me that God allowed in my life was really a strength. Now, how do I, you know, how can I turn that around and use it to my benefit?
Yeah, man, that's absolutely. So we've done a little bit talking about your story and stuff and some of your low points, but I always like to go with my guests, because to a dark, not necessarily a dark place, but a hard place. And the reason I say that is because a lot of times people will look at, say, Chip Townsend and say, "Man, you got 14 titles, you got 6 schools, you're all over the U.S., you're teaching," like they see you at the top, right? Almost like it's not achievable. Right. But that's not the case, because all of us have had struggles to get to where we're at. Where was a place for you that you would be willing to share with our guests that was just a really hard, dark moment in your life that you would talk about, but not just that place, but what God did to bring you through it, what it looked like on the other side.
Absolutely. So the thing that comes to mind is, I will kind of preface this with, I've been married for 25 and a half years, and my wife and I have been supremely blessed in that we have a very healthy marriage, healthy kids, and healthy lives. I don't have this great story of falling off into some sort of problems there, but a low point in my life that really hit me hard was in 2006. So I'm riding this high. I, at this point, had, I believe, 11 world championships under my belt. I'm starting to get calls to go. I had a call to go to Atlantic City, New Jersey, and do a big demonstration at a major event at the Tropicana Resort. I'm at this event with several thousand people watching, and my wife is on stage. And by the way, my wife is a three-time world champion as well. And so we're on stage doing the show, and, you know, it's kind of like dueling banjos. I would, you know, do some sort of breaking demonstration, you know, break something, and she would break something. The crowd would go crazy, and then I would break something, and she would, and we're having fun with it, and the crowd's engaged. And I hit this break that I had done literally hundreds of times. And when I hit it, something in the break, and I have this beautiful picture of the break happening, but we don't know what happened. One of the bricks somehow severed my Achilles tendon.
Oh.
And so, yeah, and this happens in front of thousands of people. So I hit this break, and I felt when I hit it, I thought, gosh, it felt like one of the bricks flipped around and like hit me in the calf muscle, like something frogged me really bad. And I'm thinking, holy cow. So I went to set my foot down and I couldn't stand on it. But I'm still thinking, I just kind of got a dead leg for a minute. I'm okay. I've got one more break. I look across at my wife and she's standing there and her eyes are just like saucers and her mouth is open and the whole place is going kind of crazy. And she's looking at me and she's looking at the floor and looking at me. And I look down and there's this big puddle of blood growing, right? So anyway, long story short, they carry me off the stage and get a hold of my orthopedic surgeon. And sure enough, he severed your Achilles tendon. So low point, everybody at that event is going, oh my gosh, Chip, this is the end of your career. This is you're done. You can't do this again. And I'm going into my mind going, okay, you know, I teach on the mat all the time. I'm very dependent, I guess, on my physicality in a lot of ways with my career and what I'm doing at this point. So I did a lot of praying and a lot of thinking. My wife did a lot of talking, had a lot of time flying home from New York, and we're discussing this. And in the back of my mind, I just keep hearing this voice saying, hey, it's time to go back to school. So I did some research, and whenever we got married, my wife finished her degree and is a registered nurse. I did not. I didn't finish school. But what I did do is I would take some classes here and there. So I called the local university and I said, what would I have to do to finish my bachelor's degree? And they said, you need so many hours. And so basically I could pack that into about a year, and I knew it. And my orthopedic surgeon said, Chip, you're going to be minimum a year recovering. And I'm not sure how well you're going to recover. So what I did is I think I talked to God and I heard God say to me, you know, you've been really focused on your body and your physicality, and I'm going to sit you on your butt for a while, son, and you're going to go back to school and work on your brain. I think he was telling me when my life was getting out of balance. And it was a low time. It was a really scary time because the word on the competitive circuit was that I was no longer going to be able to compete. And I was kind of getting drugged through the mud a little bit about it. Not horribly, but some. And so that was a low point. You know, everybody in your life's looking at you going, oh man, it's over. You're done. And so what I did is I buckled down. I crutched myself to school every day. I sat at the sidelines and kind of managed and ran the classes and worked in the office and took a year and finished my bachelor's degree. And then I started rehabbing myself. And 2 years after that happened, I went back and I re-won the World Ultimate Breaking Championship. So,
man, that's exciting.
Yes, sir.
I want to go to back a little bit. I know at age 13 you started and you just kind of go forward, but was there a moment anywhere in there that you were just like, this is what I was created to do? Because I think sometimes some people struggle. They're good at maybe a lot of things and they can't pick, or it's kind of hard. Did you always know, you're like, man, I love this. I want to just keep doing this. I'm going to teach it and just keep expanding? Or how was that for you?
You know, interestingly, John, I can't really put my finger on a specific moment, because I'll be honest with you, I think like everybody else, and this is one of those real transparent moments, I think I still struggle some days going, God, I asked, you know, God, is this where I'm supposed to be at? I wonder if I missed some potential somewhere else. You know what I mean? So I honestly battle with it every day, but here's what I have for you.
Hold on. Yeah. I got to ask you this. So, but why? Because, you know, from the outside looking in, I would say, okay, you've been successful. You have all these titles. Obviously you found your gift, man. You're doing great things. You have all these schools. Why is that a struggle? And I know this is totally off notes, man, but I'm really trying to dig on this one.
This is beautiful. So let me tell you why. So whenever I was 3, when I lost my eye, I became a mama's boy. And I don't think that's a bad thing necessarily. I spent a lot of hours in my mom's lap. And in my mom's lap, I distinctly at 3 and 4 years old during that recovery time remember some distinct messages that she delivered into me. And I don't know why, but they've always stuck with me. And I think they go back to this, why do I sometimes question where I'm at? But she told me 3 things. And the first thing that she would whisper to me is you're a gift from God. And remember, this is my mom when I'm 3 years old whispering these things in my ear. You know, I'm a little 3-year-old boy who has hundreds of stitches in my eye socket. It itches. It's uncomfortable. It hurts. And so she's walking through this process with me. Number 2, she says, you're going to be a different kind of man. And I'll kind of qualify that with my mom grew up with some in a really kind of a rough house, a great dad, but she had some brothers that were all older that were really rough and kind of had a rough life at times. And so she would say to me, you're going to be a different kind of man. And then the 3rd thing she would say is she would say to me, you're going to change the world. And so those 3 messages my mom put into my head have kept me grounded in a lot of ways. And she would then finish that off with repeating to me all the time, you know, Jesus lives in your heart. Your body is his temple. You want to live him living in an outhouse or a skyscraper? What are you going to build? And so she planted those things in me all the time. So now flash forward to where I'm at today, that message of you're a gift, you're going to be a different kind of man, you're going to change the world has really molded who I've become. But sometimes it also forces me to question, am I really reaching as far as I can, as far as what God has gifted me to reach? And so in questioning that, I find myself sometimes asking myself, when I'm standing on the mat teaching, you know, 10, 15, 20, 30 kids at a time, am I really reaching my potential? And so I do struggle at times. That's why I'm trying to be completely transparent here with, am I really where I'm supposed to be? So I think that we work hard to create moments. So I have a wall in my office that helps me to stay grounded. And the wall is literally covered from top to bottom with letters from parents, from students, from kids, just saying things like, thank you for what you poured into our life, or reminding me of a scenario that happened to them where we had an impact in their life. And I use that kind of as my wall to keep me grounded sometimes when I start to wonder, gosh, am I where I'm supposed to be? So hopefully that kind of answered the question. I may have jumped around a little bit, but I think it's a battle for everybody when they're truly honest. You know, I know it is for me every day. I feel more comfortable every day at 45 years old now more than ever that I'm exactly where God put me.
You know, man, I just really appreciate you being honest about that, Chip. And the thing is, when I listen to your story, I just think of, honestly, the lack of a better word is the beauty of it. And the reason I say that is because I think so many times when we're in the center of God's will, what we're called to do, the 3 things I'm thinking about your mom said to you, what the enemy does, the devil does, is he comes along and he tries to discourage us because he knows we're right where we're supposed to be. And the thing is, you know, I think about your mom told you you're a gift from God, you're a different kind of man, and you're going to change the world. And I think about how many hundreds and thousands of hours that you've poured into students and of people. And literally, if you think about, like, they call it the butterfly effect, how it just ripples forward, or like when you throw a pebble in a pond, how you're impacting one student. Well, that student, because of the principles and the things you're teaching, is influencing somebody else at school. And if you really think about it, they say you're 3 people away from knowing anybody in the entire world. And if you think about how many people that you've influenced, you've literally are influencing the world, Chip, because of the principles and things you're doing. It's literally spreading across the world and you're just making a huge impact. And I just want to tell you that to encourage you, because I just really felt, I was literally in tears listening to you be transparent about that, because I could feel the presence of God just all over me, just seeing what you're doing.
Well, I appreciate that. I think You know, it's funny, and I tell my students this. Number one, thank you for the encouragement, because there are many times that I, you know, my wife is actually an oak tree in my life that keeps me focused many, many, many times. She's, I don't know how many times she's been my self-control. She's been my focus. She's been everything when she kind of reels me in and says, hey, get back and let's get on task. And so with that said, I hugely appreciate, but I teach my students and I tell them all the time, and I hope this is a valuable message. I've been blessed, and I fully am aware that I'm limited in what I can do without God. So through God, I've been blessed to be in front of some pretty big stage lights and do some pretty cool things. And in the process, it's not that moment in the spotlight that makes it worthwhile. It's when you walk off that stage and there's this little kid that's like, you know, 3.5 feet tall that looks up at you and says, wow, that was awesome, with all the sincerity. It's that moment that makes it all worthwhile. Does that make sense?
Oh, no, it does, man. It's so cool.
Yeah, it's a really powerful thing.
Chip, I want to go and ask you, what is, do you feel like, your biggest strength in what you do?
That's awesome, man. I struggle with that. I struggle with that too. I don't know. So recently I did something that I think was pretty cool that just popped in my head, is, you know, when you strength. So I did this personality test called Strengths Finder.
Love it, dude. And it's a great test.
Yeah. And I have my top five here. My number one, I'm achiever, and achiever is this, you know, you have the stamina to push hard and to finish and follow through on something. My number two strength is significance. You're driven to make a difference. You're driven to be, you know, recognized and be significant. And I like to qualify that. To me, that one felt kind of egotistical, and I struggle with that because I want God to get the glory, not myself. But, you know, so my number three is command. And, you know, I get told a lot, man, you just kind of have this presence when you walk in. And I'm not sure. I think I personally believe every day that that's God. That's not me. He just has gifted me something. And my number four is responsibility. I take mental ownership of my commitments. If I commit to it, if I'm going to do it, I own it and I go for it. And my number five strength is I'm a learner. I have this like constant drive to be better. So I read every day. I read my Bible every day. I read books every day. I do podcasts every day. So those are my strengths that came up in that test. And hopefully that kind of answers the question, because prior to taking that test, if you asked me that question, I had a hard time seeing strengths in my, you know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. It's funny that you said that. I've been to conferences and things, seminars, where people struggle to see like their strengths or their gifts. And it's interesting. Sure. I was on a mission trip one time, and I was speaking prophetically into these people's lives. It was a really cool situation. And this girl, and I was typing down stuff in my phone as she do it. And I gave this, what I felt was word from God, to this girl. And she said, oh my gosh, how did you do that? She's like, is there an app for that? And dude, I about freaking fell over laughing, dude, because she saw me typing on my phone. So she thought there was an app that did it. And I was like, oh my gosh, dude, that is awesome. And I'm like, no. And she gave me some praise. And I used to struggle with that too, as well. Like you're talking about that. And literally it was just this Holy Spirit moment, because I had clarity as I was speaking to her. And the Lord really just showed me, you know what? And I told her, I said, the reason you're impressed is because I'm operating in my gift. I said, it's not me, it's God. And I said, does it look awesome? I'm like, yes. I said, and you're impressed. I said, but scripturally, I said, it's God's glory. I said, so what you're seeing is me operating in the very thing that God called me to do. And so many times, you know, I feel like for years, people, especially in Christians, they would say, oh, you just need to be humble and meek and those things. And yes, absolutely, we need to. And I know, especially in karate, they teach that. But there's a two-sided coin to that. There's a difference between being confident in your gifts and who you are and knowing where they came from. And there's a difference between being cocky and just rude about kind of who you are, or arrogant. And
absolutely.
And when I'm confident in the gift that God gave me, I know where it came from, I should stand up and be confident and be bold and say, this is who I am. This is how God made me, and I'm going to shine. And the reason I'm going to shine is because I'm God's child.
Absolutely. Man, I could not agree more. That is so powerful. You know, there's, I think when we stand in confident in God's confidence, when you're in that gift, I think there's a humility that goes along with that naturally as well. I think people sense that, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's easy to tell the difference in being an egotistical punk and being godly confident.
You know? Yes, absolutely. Chip, what do you think your biggest weakness is? So this is interesting. I found sometimes you can overextend a strength. So just pick one, because I know you mentioned four. Do you feel like you have one weakness that you kind of have to keep in check sometimes?
Paralysis by analysis, my friend.
Yeah.
I tend to sometimes move slow on decision making, and I hate it, and I feel like I'm making excuses at times. Just like, I need more time. I want things to be right. If that makes sense.
Yeah.
So I think based off my strengths, sometimes I spend too much time thinking too hard, trying to make things too right before I move at times. So I think it's paralysis by analysis is one of my biggest weaknesses.
I've been there, man. I struggled with that myself. Okay, what do you feel like the biggest thing that God is stirring inside of you right now?
Two things that come to mind. One is helping me. God is, I think God is communicating to me and working with me all the time, and the fact that my business is my mission. And I think that's huge. You know, I think sometimes when we're growing up, we think I don't want this to be taken wrong, but we have to go to church. I do go to church. That you have to do something at the church for it to be mission. When really the way my walk every day is my mission. That's how people look at me. So my business and how I interact and treat people and the things that I do in my business are mission. That's how I reflect God. And I think the second thing is parenting. I think God is pushing me really hard in the realm of, I really feel like we're at a low point in our society in parenting, period.
Man, that ain't no joke, man. It's, you know, going back to what your mom said, being a different kind of man. And I think nowadays the world needs real men to stand up and to love their wives, you know, as Christ called us to love them, to lay down our lives, which is a struggle every day, and to really love our children and to put them forward. Not that that's a hard thing to do, but sometimes it's easy to get caught up in work and yes, other sir. Things that are going on, but to really serve them and be the light and be the example that we're called to.
Absolutely. And one thing I would like to add to that, if you don't mind,
yeah.
is this. I remind myself of this all the time. You know, do you have children, John?
Yeah, I have three. I tell everybody I have awesome. Two teenagers and one who thinks she's a teenager.
There you go. There you go. So I've got a teen. We did this 8-year plan. We got married 8 years later. We had a daughter. And then 8 years later, we had the next two. So anyway, we call it the 8-year plan. But with that said, I have to remind myself, you know, so what is that feeling like whenever your child walks up and says, Daddy, I need you, or Daddy, I have a question, or Daddy, like yesterday, I probably 5 or 6 times my 8-year-old son for some reason looked at me and said, Daddy, I love you. And I thought, how powerful is that whenever we pray to God and have that conversation with him and he's having that sensation about us? You know what I mean?
That's good.
And so, yeah. And I try very hard, and for what it's worth, when I do have prayer time to make sure a good percentage of my time is being thankful. But I have to remind myself it's okay to ask for things too, to ask for guidance and to ask for, you know, for strength and for help, for health. And when asking for those things, I have to remind myself when my child walks up to me and says, Dad, can I have a sandwich? That makes me feel good. I love that they come to me and need me. And then it makes me happy to go provide that for them. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I think that's a grounding thing for me, knowing that I think God feels the same way. So.
Yeah, absolutely, man. I couldn't agree more with you. What has been a resource, or is there, not a resource, I'm skipping ahead, but a book that you've read lately that you felt like was really good that impacted you?
Absolutely. The most recent book that I kind of fell in love with is a book called Grit, G-R-I-T, Angela Duckworth.
Yes, I heard about that, and I heard it was awesome.
It's amazing. And I'll be honest with you, the first little bit of the book, kind of thinking, I'm not sure. When she got into kind of the part two section of the book, it was like, man, I was so buried in that book. As a matter of fact, I've listened to it like 3 times now. I love it.
Okay, I'll definitely have to check it out. All right, Chip, this is the one question, even when we skip over questions for the sake of time, that I always make every one of my guests answer. And the question is, if you got to go back to the younger you, what age would you go to? What advice would you give yourself? You can't change anything about your future. Nothing's going to change, but you can give yourself advice knowing what you're going to go through. What would you tell yourself?
Let's see. I was 20. I had just turned 23, and it would be, I think, June the 1st, 1995, the day that we handed our entire life savings to my instructor and bought what was called goodwill, good faith, a bunch of students and a rented property and basically nothing. And I think I signed a contract for 3 years that I would bury myself in this business and make it work. And I think at that point, we've alluded to this already, I would go back and tell myself that you're going where God wants you, because at that point I was lost. I had no idea. And I think I would, the other things I would say is pray harder, read more, and know that this is it. Never stop serving, learning, and growing. If I could have given myself those things at a deeper level at that point, I think it would help me more where I'm at today.
Yeah. Okay. I've never asked a guest this question, and you're going to be the first, so you get to be in the spotlight, my friend.
Awesome.
What do you feel like, if you were to say the reason I've been successful, which I know you want to be humble and say, well, I kind of am or maybe am, but you are, so we're just going to get past that real fast. If you were to say, what would you say has been a key for your success?
That's a good question, man. A key. I think it has been integrity and fulfilling my commitments, my word. And I think it's many things. And I think that started with my, you know, with God being a part of my life, and to my commitment to the covenant of marriage with my wife and being fully committed to that, inflecting that into our business, our life, and everything that we do. I think integrity is the key.
I like it, man. Integrity is a great thing. So, man, thank you so much for sharing that. And last thing, as we wrap up the show, Chip, I know you do talks. People can invite you to come out, check you out. Where do we find you, your business, your website? Man, how do we connect with you?
The very best, easiest way in the world nowadays to connect with me is Facebook. And so it's facebook.com/thechiptownsend. If you just search Townsend on Facebook, you'll find me. But that's the easiest way to connect with me. I'm moving all of my communication, trying to, over to private messages via Facebook. So,
okay, man, let's do that. So we will get that up. Chip, hold on just a second as we wrap things up. Listeners, please get on areyoureal.org. You can get all of Chip's information. I will be posting his TED Talk on there as well, a link to it. It was very well done. I was impressed. Listened to it yesterday. And links to him, how to find him, so you guys can invite him to come out and break some stuff. So again, guys, please rate and review us. We'll share that with our listeners as well. At the beginning of the show, I'll go back and read your comments. Thank you so much for being a part of the show. And remember, be real, be authentic, and be you. God bless.
That's all for this episode of Are You Real? Finding the Authentic You. Be sure to go to areyoureal.org for your free questionnaire to identify your gifts and talents and how you can use them to help people become leaders and catapult them into their destiny to help others become the leaders of tomorrow. We appreciate you spending your time with us and look forward to helping you reach out and revolutionize next time on Are You Real? Finding the Authentic You.